Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to those various folks in canoes, canoeing on some fucking lake in Canada. Good morning to those folks out there, I don't know, digging for gold, digging for silver, digging for anything they can find, if you know, you know. Good morning to the sky captains. Good morning to the skyhawk shaman. You make the sky like cobwebs. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. It is Thursday, December the 12th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 4 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, you fuck. 12, 12, 12 and 12, 12 and 12 is 24, it's 12, 12, you have one 12 and another, isn't it the 12 days of Christmas soon? You better talk to the moon and ask the moon god what he thinks or she thinks, definitely lowercase g. You can talk to the demons of the forest or the demons of the sea, and they'll tell you stories of heroes and queens. What I'm about to read you, excuse me, but I have to drink the sacred coffee. No offense to anyone, okay? Deo Volente. What I'm about to read you comes from the Bible. It's one version of it. There are many versions. If you are at peace with the Holy Spirit and currently, I'm okay, then you have discernment, which means that if you ever panic over which version of the Bible is the right version, then your connection's not working, buddy. Sorry. Yeah. But this comes from the Bible. This comes from James 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive. Because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says with reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver, one and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you say, tomorrow we will go to this or that city spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is Lord's will, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is James 4. This is from the Bible. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Be careful, my friends. And for those of you out there who are atheist or agnostic or believe something else, I mean, I want to live in a free world. And there's a part in here about judging and about living with each other that we should also remember these days. A big part of peace is to avoid the rage of judgment. And so many in 2020 stood in judgment of each other. And I'll confess, I did too. I had my reasons. I still think they're good reasons, but a lot of us in 2020, we judged our neighbors, and in some cases, and I think I avoided this, we cursed them. We wished them dead. And then when 2020 disappeared and we got our PPP loans, and we could dream of Donald Blump and the Orange King again, and we could do that whole F you Biden or Brandon as if I care about PSYOPs. Yeah. And we can all pretend that what happened in 2020 didn't happen. I can't. As a Christian, I fail in many ways, but my number one failure is forgiveness. And if you've listened to my podcast, you know this. And this is why I might be damned. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want to be damned, but I might be, because I cannot forgive very easily. It took me literally decades to forgive my dad for things I thought he did to me. And then the weight was lifted. And it took me a long time to forgive myself for the bullshit, for my failure as a husband in my first marriage. And, you know, some weight was lifted, probably not enough. But then you know about the recent story about the dude we do not speak of and his bullshit. And you understand that some idiot journalist called me an ally of his, which once again points out that the building across the street in August of 2020, Dan, it definitely burnt down because you're an ally of somebody who almost destroyed you, according to an idiot journalist. Great. Deo Valente. Deo Valente, or DV, shows up in letters in the 18th century. I forget the guy who first used it in letters, but the point is, it goes back to the 18th century, and it was a way in which people would kind of say goodbye or end a letter. And they would just say in the letter, DV, because back in the day, you were writing letters, and, you know, letters cost money in that sense. You know, okay. I mean, they did have a printing press, but ordinary people, they were still writing their letters on paper. Ink, paper, and then you go to press, right? The first typewriters didn't appear until the first useful typewriters didn't appear until more or less after the Civil War, which means you're talking the 1880s and 1890s, the late 19th century. And really, they didn't get super useful in a lot of ways until right around World War II, when they got really useful. And then after the war, you had the IBM Selectric, right? That was the big queen, the queen of the ball, the IBM Selectric. Until, of course, you know, Steve Jobs and that shithead Bill Gates came along with the magical chip from the Minuteman missile program and the internet that DARPA gave you. Deo Valente. If it is the will of God, let it be. That's one way of interpreting that phrase. what we should say, what we need to say is that if it is God's will. And the problem is, that in order to let God's will take charge, and as a Christian, I understand this, even though I'm not very good at it. Part of that is letting crap go. If the Lord wants you to go on a sailing trip and your boat is filled with rocks so it sinks, that doesn't work out for God. If the Lord wants you to believe in yourself and seek a new job but you're too afraid to, you know, you're harming yourself and it also doesn't work out too well for God. We should be able to let go of things that hold us back, to include anger and rage and hate against people that we might believe deserve it. And in my case, I'm fairly certain I know of a few people that kind of deserve it. And as far as the U.S. government goes, most of those guys can go to hell. And what makes it horrible is that that also kind of means, you know, mocking myself. And I don't want to say more than that. The thing about living on the Death Star is that everybody works for Vader. If you think I'm living on a plot of land in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, Dan. I only go into town twice a week converting my Bitcoin to money, so I'm really off the grid. Yeah, buddy. But I can explain to you in 50 ways that you're just as connected to Vader as I am. And you're not going to want to listen to it, and you're going to shut it all down, and you're going to turn on your Mega Man TV, and you're going to play pretend. And by the way, I am not a fan of the Democrats or Joseph Biden. If you don't know this by now, shithead, I'm literally an anarchist. I don't vote. I don't care about your stupid government. I don't believe that the changing of the guard means anything good for you or good for me. And if your voting did work, it would really boil down to gang warfare by other means, if it worked. But long ago, the people that created this idea of government, and I don't mean the founding fathers, shithead, I mean go way back in time. Because as you all know, the oldest profession is grifter. And if anybody boasts of the world, if anybody loves the world, if anybody tries to sell you a room behind them filled with computers, but you don't dare look, it's a grifter. Grifters gave you government. Grifter was the first profession. Grifter is a stage of awareness that most people get over because they grow up. And, you know, maybe we still do pranks. Donald Blump is literally, in every sense, the opposite of James 4. He is always boasting of the world. He is connected to the world. His entire ethos is the world. That doesn't make him evil necessarily, but here's what's important for those Christians out there. It also doesn't make him good, by the way. And I can see that many folks equate my interpretation of the Bible with communism, mainly because they're projecting. They really are. I can't think of anything more commie right now than the U.S. government. It's like the other day, I think we talked about it, how the government was putting together a program. Dan, didn't you know the government's putting together a program or something to teach people about the dangers of communism? Commies, trying to explain to commies how not to be commies is the absurd stage of decline we're at, folks. And everything that they're selling you right now is about the world. And none of it's very good. And it's okay to live in the world, and it is great to make a lot of space for God. I need to make more space for God. If I want to be on this journey called life, it's like Dr. Freckles said once, it takes a lot of wisdom to know what to take with you and what to leave behind. And the Lord in heaven wants us to figure that out, brothers and sisters, before it's too late. You know what I'm saying? Next topic. Dan, you're crazy. You're crazy. I know. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You can't even properly analyze space statistically from the perspective of unique people. Call me when you get to 1,000 unique people to space, and then I'll send you an email saying, okay, buddy, let's get to 10,000. So that Freckles quote is kind of convoluted, blah, 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 and I get it, and you can just hold your horses. I'm beating up on space again, but not for very long, because I just don't care about it that much. Space is not only of the world, but it is of the world, and I believe mostly bullshit. So it's, yeah, it's a lot like that one movie about the troll that you can summon with the rock and roll music by playing it backwards, and he magically gives you a brand new car, but the car turns literally to shit the next day. It's like that. But if you're a data scientist, if you're a data scientist-friendly person, if you have a background in statistics or analysis, you know that analysis on less than 1,000 events is difficult, if not impossible. And if you're trying to draw conclusions about the future, like say, I'm going to predict the future from the past, it becomes a bit silly. Now, Moore's law, for example, is real data. How much computational power over time? That's something you can analyze. You can count transistors per chip, you can count cycles, you can count speed, you can analyze megabytes. There's data that's useful historically, and it goes back decades. The space thing goes back decades, and there's lots of data, but the particular data point I'm interested in, unique humans who've been to space, and let's get real, at this point, people are calling space about 60 miles up, because, hey, that's where the business is, right, Bezos? At this point in human history, since space became a thing in 1961, pre-Boblimpdoc, at this point in human history, fewer than 700 unique people have been to quote-unquote space. At this point in human history, I have lived through multiple times that presidents said, we're going to go back to the moon. We're heading back to the moon, and then we're going to Mars. I heard Reagan. I heard the guy that tried to kill him say that. I heard the guy that tried to kill the guy or whatever, if you believe any of that nonsense. Every fucking president in my lifetime, except for Nixon, because he had a lot to worry about when I was a toddler. But every fucking president in my fucking lifetime has told me that in a couple years we're going back to the moon. After a while, you stop believing people, folks. You really do. After a while, you start thinking, crap, you know, this is not worth my time. But the simple reality is, if this is a data point you're interested in, there's not enough data yet. Which, in one way, means statistically, if you think of people, unique people that have been to space, as a quotient or a fraction, and you divide that by the total number of people that have been alive since 1961, and guess what? That number is bigger than the current population. Sorry, math is hard. That number is so small that you might as well, as a data scientist, say, no one's been to space. I mean, not in the statistical sense. Yeah, people went to a party, and they get invited, and in a lot of cases, they look like Masons, but that's it. It's such a small fucking number that talking about it is like talking about people who think there's a Bigfoot. Okay, maybe there is a Bigfoot, maybe there's not, but where's the fucking data? If you're a scientist, if you're a data scientist, if you respect mathematics, you should, on a certain level in terms of cardinality and set theory, admit to yourself and maybe even, you know, summon the voices, summon the spirits of Bertrand Russell, and he'll tell you too, if the set that you're looking at is, for all intents and purposes, empty, then there is nothing to talk about. Next topic. Dan, you beat up on outer space. I do beat up on outer space. Because I'm a fucking bastard. I'm a son of a bitch. Next topic. Okay, so, anywho, here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Time traveler family trees are even more convoluted than Alabama family trees. But Alabama-style time travelers? Forget about it. The universe collapses, and you know there's at least 800 different kinds of baby mamas, and somebody's the Uncle Grandpa. I saw this fucked up time travel movie once, and I'm not going to look it up, because if you want to, you can look it up. It exists. And I think it was made in the last 10 years, like in the last decade. And one of the main character, kind of, or I should say the two main characters, but the main character in a sense that you would recognize, he was in that movie, you know, God, what was that fucking film? Him and Winona Ryder. Anyways, I don't care. I'm not in the mood to even look it up or whatever. It'll come to me if it wants to, but in that particular time travel film, he kind of finds out that he's like his own sort of mom and dad. And it's really fucked up, you know, to find out that somehow you are your own mom and dad. It's just too fucking weird to even conceive of, right? So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of mean to beat up on Alabama. If you live in Alabama, this is a stupid joke. Next topic. Don't beat up on time travelers and people in Alabama and weird kinds of family trees that develop if people from Alabama build time machines. That's probably where squidbillies come from. Anyways, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Soon, you will be able to click on a button, and all of a sudden, the movie you are watching becomes pornified by AI. I mean, you're watching, I don't know, maybe that 1950 classic Alice in Wonderland. It's a fucking cartoon. It's so nice and peaceful and loving, but all of a sudden you push the wrong button, and yeah, oh boy. You're watching, I don't know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and maybe you're a guy or a gal, and you're thinking to yourself, I want this to go all the way, baby. So you push the button on the app, and it pornifies your AI. Maybe you're watching some Marvel film and Scarlett Johansson is playing that beautiful secret agent chick who somehow became a good person, heart of gold. But you push the button at that right moment where maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the first movie where they call themselves the Avengers or something. I think it came out in 2012. And she's sitting there kind of at the beginning of the movie because she's supposed to go find the Incredible Hulk, but she's sitting in a chair all tied up by Russian generals. What if you push the button then? Would that make you a bastard? Would you get sued by Scarlett? Would you get sued by Jennifer Lawrence? Or Halle Berry? Yeah. I don't know. That's horrible, Dan. You're a horrible person. I know. I don't really care that much about how horrible I am. I know that I am. So you want to know what the best movie is about high school these days, I think. And it was probably true for everybody who's ever had to attend one of these Prussian schools in the last 100 years or whatever. But probably the best movie for encapsulating teenage life today in high school in a lot of ways is the film Shawshank Redemption. And I try to put it in those terms. Like when I try to convince a student, here's why you need to do the homework. Here's why you need to go to class. Here's why you've got to take the test. It's not that those things are necessarily good all the time. Some of it might be wrong. But it's because if you don't do those things, you're never going to get out of here. Now you could say, well, isn't Shawshank Redemption about escape? And it is. And there are ways of escaping. Like, for example, the best way, have your parents homeschool you. That's the number one way of avoiding. You don't even have to escape in that scenario. You avoided the trap. You're the smart crab. Nobody hauled you in. But a lot of kids in school these days don't have parents, or at least not functional parents. They're kids who are abandoned, they're orphaned, they're homeless, and they show up. And some kids have parents, but their parents are barely able to put things together. So their life is hard, and they don't have a choice. If they don't send their kids to public school, they will get in trouble. If the kid is all alone, they'll get in trouble. But even for them, there's escape. There's ways you can get out. And when I talk to kids who don't think there's any hope, one of the things I try to point out is that there is hope. It's not the fake kind of hope, not the plastic kind. It's the kind that comes with recognizing the things you can control and the things that we have no control over. And maybe it's a bit harsh to compare high school to Shawshank Redemption, but in terms of the spirit of it, when I see a kid who has, in a sense, figured out a way to get out of that, which also means getting out of the bullying and the people picking on each other and the kids being, you know, basically put into boxes before they're even adults yet, and it's way worse than when I was a kid. If you're one of these dumb fucks out there who talks about how easy the kids have it these days, I don't even care if you kick my fucking ass. You can come to Port Angeles and I'll punch you in the fucking face and you can kick my ass and I won't fucking care because you're a dumb fuck. It's way harder for these kids than it ever was for me, and it's not linear. And I can't tell you how, because that would literally be wrong. But trust me, if you do trust me, if you can play pretend long enough that you think I'm a real person, it's way worse for them. Next topic. Wasn't OJ looking for the real killer? And isn't the real killer death? And OJ found it, didn't he? Didn't he finally find death? Isn't the real killer a guy wearing black? Isn't the real killer always on attack? Isn't the real killer coming for you? Coming for me, and it's death. Oh yeah, hold on to the world, little man, little woman. Hold on to the world, Scrumbo. I'm sure the tighter you hug all the shit you have, the more it won't turn to sand. But isn't the real killer, the one that did all the damage? Isn't the real killer death? That's just too silly. Next topic. You want to have a blank check military-industrial complex, do you? This is another quote from Dr. Freckles. You want to have a blank check military-industrial complex that gets everything it needs, baby? You're going to have little green men. You're going to have tiny green men. Little threatening monsters from outer space. You'll need UFOs. You'll need big events. You're going to have little green men and video from gun cameras. I will tell you, and this is not original, a lot of people have looked at this over the years, and it's so back in the rearview mirror, it might not be worth talking about. But if you're familiar with Orson Welles and his War of the Worlds broadcast from the year 1938, pre-Bo Blimp Doc, and technically about a year before World War II started, if you're familiar with the War of the Worlds broadcast, it did not, in my opinion, generate the paranoia of the late 30s, but I think it was done on purpose to turn up the volume. I used to think it was a big accident, like, oh, Orson Welles was just being silly, reading his version of War of the Worlds on radio. But understand, that panic and fear and paranoia of the late 30s translated into American airmen in B-17s over Europe seeing Foo Fighters. And they weren't seeing UFOs, they were seeing advanced German aircraft. And a lot of those German aircraft, well, how can I put it, were quite buggy. I mean, they built some cool shit. Once Albert Speer took control of the economy in Germany in 1942, they started making a lot of cool shit, but it was too fucking late. I mean, we can all debate, well, what if Albert Speer had been in charge of the German economy in 1938? I don't know how to put it, but, you know. I think Philip K. Dick wrote a story about that, buddy. If you want to feed the monster that is the Defense Department, and that is the military-industrial complex, if you want to feed that monster, one of the things you have to do is keep paranoia alive. And a lot of what's been going on the last few years, to include turning Putin into the ultimate evil, it just didn't happen. I was alive in 2014. I saw that bullshit in the Ukraine, and a lot of us did. And we all saw it, and we said to ourselves, this color revolution looks a lot like the CIA. And a lot of people said, no, Dan, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. I had a lot of people I knew back then who didn't give a fuck. But it fueled the paranoia, just like 9/11. I mean, I wonder a lot about not just 9/11, but why and how it happened. I have no idea. I don't have any certainty. And nobody does. We didn't even investigate 9/11. We all assumed we knew, collectively, and then they started burning the evidence. So it's, and you know, and they also ended up dumping the guy in the ocean. You know, you think about a criminal investigation, assuming we gave a fuck, assuming there's a rule of law. If you consider how many fucking people we killed, how many lives we ruined, how many worlds were destroyed by our fucking wars since 9/11, you'd think you'd do a fucking investigation, right? But then you think about Waco, and you think about Orson Welles, and you think about Little Green Men, and you realize, no, you're not going to investigate a crime you committed. You're not. Nobody's going to investigate Waco to bring anybody to justice. Nobody's gonna look at Ruby Ridge and bring some shitty sniper to justice. Nobody gives a fuck. They would rather play pretend. Not everybody, so I should say nobody, but enough people in America today like playing pretend. Next topic. Dan, you're terrible, you're terrible. I am, it's early in the morning, fuck you. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I'm going to write a multi-volume nonfiction series one day detailing all the excuses and broken promises we get from the space people. Oh, the Van Allen belts. We never heard about them. Oops, you know. We deleted that. Crap, there once was a really cool blueprint of a space buggy and a lunar lander, but somehow in the internet computer age, oops. Somehow in the age of technology, oops. Somehow the smartest people in the room are also the dumbest, and they went to the moon. Yeah. We already covered this earlier, so I don't want to, like, sucker punch reality anymore, but yeah, I'd like to write a book called Space Cuses. Space Cuses. I think I will, maybe. I mean, I think I do. No, I don't believe I will. If I finish book one of Bigfoot War One, even if it's in a draft form, I'll consider that an accomplishment. Not because I think I'm a great writer, but because I just don't think there's that much time left before the next, you know, shoe drops. And as we recall, that phrase comes from people living in apartments where you'd hear somebody upstairs and you'd hear one shoe drop. So you're waiting for the next shoe to drop. So I don't think so. I think the next shoe is about to drop. Bo Blimpdoc, for all intents and purposes, is almost over. And for all my stalkers out there and shitty journalists who reach back into time to open old wounds, fuck off. Have a good time. Have a good time with your grocery stores and your 24-hour diners, wherever the fuck you are. Because that reality, it isn't going to, like, gradually drift off into the distance. That reality is going to drop. And Wiley, you're going to realize that underneath you is 10,000 feet, and then you hit the bottom of the fucking canyon. So no, I don't think I'll be writing a book called Space Cuses. But let's play pretend, and let's just say that I'm definitely wrong, and 2025 is going to be your year, and my year, and those Chinese fortune cookie bullshit things we talked about a week or so ago, that's going to be real too, and this is going to be my year for big business and Bitcoin love affairs. So maybe I'll write a multi-volume series. Nonfiction. I will research it quite well, and it's going to detail every fucking bullshit lie from NASA, specifically regarding human spaceflight. I'm not talking about your fucking probes. You can talk about the probes with your doctor next week, you fuck. You'll see a picture of what's inside the inner space. You will see landscapes that are impossible to imagine, and you will run out of his office or her office in fear after your colonoscopy, anal probe. No. Next topic. Dan, you're terrible. I don't know. I am not going to read the article, but as a Sovietologist, I want you to understand something. I have a link in here to an article about how Microsoft shareholders voted no on Bitcoin. If you understand that Microsoft as a company is periodically used as kind of a wooden Hindenburg slash object of ridicule in the techno type world we live in, then this all kind of makes sense, really. One of the ways you sheep dip a person or a thing is by convincing the people that you're targeting that the thing or the person is an outsider. You know, an outsider, not an insider. They're the rebel. They're the ones with the channel on YouTube that has a million followers but complains that they're shadow banned. I'm talking about that fucking person. Yeah. One of the ways you sheep dip a person or a thing is to convince the people who usually consider themselves outsiders in these particular circumstances, because we're talking about the state and we're talking about military psychological warfare. One of the ways you sheep dip somebody is to put them through a trial and to have them attacked. But they have to survive. This goes back to the hero's journey, you know, George Lucas bullshit. So the fact that Microsoft people who own shares in Microsoft would vote no is 100% predictable. In fact, I don't see how you could not predict it. Next topic, because this is too stupid to talk about. And you know what the good news is? You want some good news, buddy? That's all the fucking topics for today, you know? All the topics we have. Deo Volente. Deo Volente. Know that you go and the day is willed by God. Let God's will command. Let the plan unfold. Don't fight against it. Deo Volente. Right? Deo Volente. Let God's will be done, right? In a sense, Deo Volente. Today is Thursday, 12/12/24. If you take 12 and 12, it equals 24. I am not into numerology. It's kind of a demonology, but I'll tell you something funny, buddy. If you take 12 and 12, it equals 24. The year is 2024. We are in year 5 of Bo Blimpdoc. Have a nice fucking day.